Okay, we're here to discuss our final item for the day, spiny dogfish. Frank Blount.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. If everybody looks at their binder, we're behind tab 9. The committee met last night, and we discussed the upcoming year specifications. But before we get into the committee's work from last, or the joint committee's work from last night, Jim's going to give a presentation on the upcoming framework. So with that, Jim.
Thank you, Frank. Jim Armstrong, Mid-Atlantic Council staff. On the agenda sheet, you'll notice under item 2, council action, there's a final approval of framework adjustment 2 to the FMP. This council has seen this framework before. It's a simple administrative action designed to streamline the incorporation of best scientific information into management of the stock. The text of the framework is available in the tab. It's attachment number 1, I guess. Hopefully you've had a chance to review it. If not, I can tell you that the pertinent aspects of the framework can be found in a few sentences in the executive summary and in figure 1 on page 11. Basically, the purpose of the framework is to improve the timeliness and efficiency of incorporating the best scientific information available into the annual management processes, into specifications. In other words, what will happen is if there's a benchmark assessment, any change in the basis for the status determination criteria, the biological reference points, will not have to go through an amendment process, but will instead be automatically incorporated into the FMP. Then, after the peer review and SSC and monitoring committee review, when the specification document is prepared, the management measures are developed for the upcoming fishing year, the subsequent fishing year, then everything can be measured or considered in relation to that new basis. This is particularly important for the spiny dogfish FMP because right now there's no biomass target. There's no finish line, if you will, to cross. In the FMP. So this will spackle up that little hole in the FMP. And I'll just take questions on that if anyone wants.
Dr. Pierce? You don't have to. You can reserve your time.
It's a great idea. We needed a formal target. Paul Rego and company have offered up something for consideration. I assume that eventually, after the necessary track review with very minor modifications, it will be adopted, and then through this process it can be put into the plan, and we will finally have a target, which we will have by then, well, by now, have exceeded. So it's a wise approach.
Anyone else?
I would just I've provided Karen with the language for the motion. There are some peculiarities in the way that the FMP was originally developed, and the motion to go forward. This is the second framework meeting, so this is when it would be recommended to be submitted, but the language. We messed up on framework 1 when we did, you know, we just endorsed, the Mid-Atlantic Council just endorsed the preferred alternative, and that wasn't enough. So you'll see in the language here what satisfies the requirements for under the FMP. So.
That the spiny dogfish framework 2 be submitted to the regional administrator with a recommendation that the council's, where'd you go on me, Karen? Preferred alternative redefine the status determination criteria, be published in the Federal Register as a proposed rule. That's not a committee motion. I made the motion, yes.
Seconded by Rodney. Discussion? Anyone in the audience? Back to the council. Anything further? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed? Abstentions? One abstention. The motion carries 14-0. One abstention.
I'm ready to give an update on the status of the stock as soon as I switch so that I can give the presentation.
Okay, if I can.
Frank?
If I can, Jim switching. Jim gave the presentation last night. Afterwards, we'll have two committee motions, which are basically the same as what ASMFC just did. So this might put us in sync for the first time in years on Dogfish. One thing that was very surprising last night, and I don't know if people are here from the industry, after the presentation you'll see that the quota can be increased. We were almost asked by the industry to be careful on increasing the quota because they weren't sure that they could absorb that many fish into the market. That's a little different issue. When we get to the motion, we'll discuss that more, but it was quite a switch from what we've heard in the past.
Okay. I've been told that updates on status of stock should be delivered as quickly, although as informatively, also as quickly as possible. And I think there are a number of people at the table here who are quite familiar with the updates already. So I'll run through this as quickly as I can, and you can ask me questions afterwards. After that, there will be need for council action with regard to recommending a commercial quota and trip limit for the upcoming fishing year, and then discussion of other management issues as you desire. The status of the spiny dogfish stock is determined with regard to the condition of the mature females or female spawning stock. So in terms of biomass relative to biomass reference points, removals relative to fishing mortality reference points, it's all in terms of female spawning stock. So I have three slides here that show the progression in the last 3 years of our understanding of the condition of the stock. We have, three surveys ago, the 2006 spring survey, had quite a large increase in the catch, and you can see that was preceded by a protracted period of low catches. The following year, in 2007, the increase relative to those previous low catches wasn't as great. However, it was still enough to bring that smoothed estimate, which is the oscillating line you see there, up. And then more recently, there was another catch comparable to the 2006 survey catch that brought the three-year moving average up above the magic green line, which is the biomass target. As I said, in the federal FMP, there is no official biomass target. This information, the figures, were provided by Paul Rago, and the target here is the commission's target. Their plan does have a target defined, but it's the difference between the SSC recommended federal target and the commission's target has only to do with the assumptions about the size of the path that the trawl is sampling, and so it's really a scaling issue. So all you would do is move all those points up a little bit. The green line would move up. But the line, the oscillating line, the biomass estimate relative to the target would everything else would look the same. So it appears that using the most recent information, that spawning stock biomass has indeed increased above the target. In the modeling approach, there are about 20 million iterations that account for all the uncertainty, sources of uncertainty in the inputs. And so that generates a distribution of SSB estimates. But the modal estimate appears to have a 75% probability or the modal estimate doesn't, but the 75% of the distribution of the stochastic estimates are greater than the biomass target. Spiny dogfish pup production is still low compared to historic levels. And the reason for that is likely that although the absolute magnitude of SSB has gone up, the productivity of SSB is not what it was historically, and that has a lot to do with the size composition of SSB. In other words, there are a lot of mature females out there, but they're small mature females. And before, there were a lot of mature females that were 100 centimeters or greater. And these tend to produce hardier pups with a higher survival rate. And here you can see the biomass trend updated through 2008 for immature females, and you can see that that continues to decline. The reason for that decline is the low productivity, sustained low productivity from about 1997 through about 2003. So you have low year class, small year classes recruiting into those small year classes, and so the absolute the biomass estimate for immature females is declining to reflect that low recruitment. And here's the picture that is offered to try to explain sort of the whole history and where we are now. This is the length frequencies of the of female spiny dogfish from all lengths, not just matured females. So on the left-hand end of the x-axis, you see the pups, and then at the right-hand side, you see the largest fish. And at the top of the figure, we have an early time period, 1988 to 1990, and you can see during there was a wide distribution of lengths in the female population. During the development of the directed U.S. fishery in the 90s, the right-hand side of that length structure, length frequency, started to erode with the removals of the targeted component, the large fish, which were all mature females. So you see a diminishing distribution on that side. Then with the decrease in productivity in the stock, recruitment started to go down, and so that's why starting in about 1997 you see almost nothing on the left-hand side of the length distribution. And then from 1997 to the present, you see that remaining length, the remaining female stock kind of growing. The management, restrictive management measures dominated during that period. And so you just see growth of those fish. But again, no subsequent increase in recruitment has been observed yet, not a large increase anyway. The point estimate for spawning stock biomass relative to the commission's plan is 195,000 metric tons. Their target is 167,800 metric tons. As I said, it's a scaling issue where there's the numbers on the screen are wrong. There's a 16%. We're about 16% above the target, and so it should say 232,000 in parentheses. What I have there in parentheses for SSB in 2008 and for the SSB target would be for the federal plan. So the top number in parentheses should say 232,000 metric tons, or 16% above the target. So the being with a 75% probability of being above the target, there's a very high probability the stock is not overfished, that it's below the threshold. In terms of fishing mortality, in the last complete fishing year, 2007, a number of sources of removals are considered: commercial landings, Canadian landings, U.S. commercial discards, and recreational removals. You can see that among these four categories, U.S. commercial discards dominate. However, the combination of U.S. commercial landings and U.S. Canadian landings are in the neighborhood of if you add those together, in the neighborhood of total discards. We don't account for Canadian discards. Recreational removals are not completely insignificant, about 900 metric tons. That's 20% of the recreational catch. This is a chart that's not too easy to read, and so I'll skip it. What we end up with is a total estimated removal of about 12 million metric tons, or 27 million pounds, in 2007. That contributed, given the stochastic estimate of biomass, applying those removals to those stochastic estimates, give a stochastic estimate of fishing mortality rate with the distribution that you see here. The modal estimate for F is about 0.11. The F threshold, or the level at which overfishing would occur, is defined as 0.39 for spiny dogfish. So the F estimate of 0.11 in 2007 is less than that, and therefore we can say that it's likely that overfishing was not occurring. So in general conclusions, the stock appears to be rebuilt. Biomass in 2008 appears to be greater than the target biomass of, in the federal plan, if we had one, of 200,000 metric tons. The probability that biomass is above the target is within the model is about 75%. Overfishing is not occurring. Fishing mortality in 2007 was at 0.11. Approximately equal to F rebuild. So the probability and the probability that fishing mortality in 2007 was greater than the F threshold, it was less than the F threshold, I beg your pardon, is about 100%. Nevertheless, there are always caveats. The size frequency of females is concentrated between 75 and 95% centimeters. Very few fish are above 100 centimeters, where these would be the most productive fish. Low numbers of juvenile males and females suggests that in the future, population biomass will oscillate as these age classes grow. The decline induced by the sequence of poor recruits, a decline in biomass is expected as a consequence of poor recruitment in the last 10 years. In other words, the recruitment deficit will be paid back. Nevertheless, spawning stock biomass is expected to increase as long as pup survival rates begin to increase. That was built into the projections. Recruitment in the past 5 years has been modest but below expectations, as I explained. That's probably got something to do with the size structure of the reproductive stock. Another issue is the skewed sex ratio. It appears to be 4-to-1 mature male to female in the stock overall. Depending on where you are, near shore, it could be as high as 9-to-1 female to male, and then the further offshore you go, the more likely you are to run into pure male stocks. With regard to a technical basis for establishing management measures in the upcoming fishing year, projections were run. There were 6 scenarios that were considered. All of them assumed that these were long-term projections. They went out there were about 25-year projections, or I'm sorry, 20-year projections. And they all assumed that the average long-term pup survival rate was consistent with what had been estimated in SARC 19. If that assumption is not correct, then the projections would be overly optimistic. You'll notice as I run through the projections that they share a common feature, and that is that that an oscillation in biomass is expected. Again, that's going to be because low recruitment will cause SSB to decline, and then hopefully once recruitment picks up again, you'll have a subsequent increase in SSB. So there we go. So let's go through the scenarios. The first scenario was fishing mortality at status quo. As I said, F in 2007, that would be status quo F, was about 0.11. It was actually 0.1104. Not sure we want to go that far out, but what you'll notice here is in the near term, up to about 2010 or 11, we have biomass continuing to increase, and then subsequently until about 2017, you have a decline as those small year classes recruit into the SSB, and then assuming that pup production or pup survival is good, then SSB is expected to increase thereafter. So at the top of this figure, you have the trends in SSB according to applying status quo F throughout this entire time series from 2008 to 2027. F rebuild, I can toggle between the two, and you're not going to see any difference. F rebuild is 0.11, not 0.104, so there's virtually no difference there. F target produces the same oscillating pattern. However, the F target is here defined as the F for a rebuilt stock. So instead of fishing at 0.11, it would be 0.28. So if the stock is assumed to be rebuilt and you apply that F over the entire 20-year time series, then you see the same pattern, but the decline in 2017 when it bottoms out, it looks like it's going to be below the overfished threshold. And then if fishing mortality is applied throughout the entire time series at an extreme level, F threshold 0.39, then you see when biomass bottoms out that it's about one half of biomass threshold. A couple other scenarios were considered. Constant harvest strategy. Fish, if removals were held constant at the 2007 levels throughout the projection time series time frame, then the the same oscillation occurs. However, the low point in 2017 looks like it's right at the biomass target. And if another 5,000 metric tons or a little more than 10 million pounds is added to that, then you end up with the same pattern, but in 2017, you're somewhere in between the target and the threshold. You can see that the uncertainty in these scenarios is remarkable compared to the constant F strategies. So after reviewing this information, the Monitoring Committee and SSC developed recommendations. The recommendations were to set the commercial quota in fishing year 2009 to achieve F rebuild. This is a precautionary response to the update on the status of the stock. In other words, not recommending that that F be set at the F target for a rebuilt stock or 0.28. The quota that corresponds to F rebuild of 0.11 in 2009 is 12 million pounds. This takes into account all the other sources of removals, Canadian landings, commercial discards, recreational removals. And it's also rounded down from about from 12.3 million pounds to make a nice round number. The reason for the precautionary advice was that scientific uncertainty exists. And, both committees were uncomfortable with declaring the stock to be rebuilt. In other words, with the size structure differences compared to the historic stock, are we really comparing apples to apples? In terms of the long-term projections, if fishing mortality at 0.28 was the strategy, then we would expect in the long term that it may return to an overfished status. There were other constraining factors on stock productivity, the sex ratio, which isn't very well understood, and other things, environmental factors that also aren't very well understood. And because of all these sources of uncertainty, the committees looking forward to a benchmark assessment in 2009 felt that the wisest course would be to just wait until that assessment's done and see what it says. With regard to trip limits, the committees recommended that trip limits in the federal trip limits be established at 3,000 pounds. An increase above that level was not recommended. It was observed that in 2007, where a 3,000 pound trip limit existed in state waters, the realized F was equivalent to F rebuild. So it's thought that there's not a whole lot of risk, and we've had problems in the past linking trip limits to F targets, so that's about as close as we can get. It was suggested that a higher trip limit in federal waters might relieve some of the pressure on the nearshore fishery where females dominate. In other words, having a higher federal trip limit might result in the sex ratio of the landings changing so that more males are landed. They would count against the quota, and F on mature females might even go down. The male-only fishery is something that's always brought up. The committees thought that at this time the establishment of such a fishery was not advisable. It seems like there's a lot of uncertainty into how it would be carried out, and whether a large-scale male-only fishery might result in very high discards of females. And that's it for the Monitoring Committee and and SSC recommendations. I've got the Joint Committee recommendations up there for Frank if he wants to use them.
Well, are there any questions?
Yeah, I think what we'll do is take some questions first. I had a couple. I'm sure it's in my binder here. I don't recall, maybe you do, what the corresponding quota would be if it was F target as opposed to F rebuild.
I'm going to look in the package here and see. There are tables in, I believe it's attachment number 3, and at the end there are 6 tables, each of which correspond to one of the projection scenarios. So table 2, table 1 is just what the survey landings were, not survey landings, survey catch. tables 2 through 7 then give you the numbers. And you can see that in table 3 there's a circle around total landings in 2009. That's on page 26, and that's what we used. So if you compare that cell with the corresponding cell in table 4, you're comparing about 8,100 metric tons to about 19,000 metric tons.
So as you pointed out in your presentation, the recommended quota is very conservative compared to what it could be.
Yes, there are several sources. It's maintaining F rebuild, given even though there's evidence that the stocks recovered, although we can't officially declare that, not only because of the scientific uncertainty, but because the F&P just won't allow us to do that at this point. But it takes into account Canadian removals, recreational removals, and discards. And in each of those cases, Canadian landings have been below their quota. It's assumed that they will actually land their quota. The recreational removals were rounded from about 37 metric tons to 40 metric tons, not a big deal there. And when you convert from metric tons to English units, you get after you take all those other sources out, you end up with about 12.3 million pounds, and we round it down to a 12 million just for a round number.
Okay, yeah, I'm on document 3. The front page has that sort of the breakdown that you just touched on, some of the boxes that are in that table. Where do the recreational fishermen live that are actually landing dogfish? 37.1 metric tons.
I don't think they are willing to identify themselves.
Okay. And I'll also just point out that this is, I think, in all the documents that I've ever seen, this is the first time I've ever seen line trawl and scallop dredge in the same box together. So
I think that was done just because the same mortality rate was used, and I'm not sure if I understand why scallop dredges and line trawls would both have a 10% mortality rate, but I think that's the way they were binned in this report. The discards there, you don't see the landings broken out by gear type, but actually in the previous year in 06 there was about 66%. Even though here the dead discards are primarily from the otter trawl fishery, only about 13% of the landings came from otter trawls. About 66% of the landings came from gill nets, and about 20% from lines.
Anyone else on the council? Rip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to again on that document number 3, that table again, the recreational discards, that come from MRFs, or is that another source? And how did they estimate the discard mortality? And I always knew that the wrecks catch a lot, but I'm looking at this and they're catching more than half of, in terms of discard, what the otter trawl fishery is. And boy, that seems like a high number to me.
Yeah. The mortality rate used to be 100%. There was a sort of malice aforethought, thing. The handling of dogfish in the as they're being removed from the hook by recreational fishermen was influenced by their undesirability, as part of the catch, and maybe a just an experience with what to do with one. Or the 20% is a big reduction from that original mortality estimate, and it's more in keeping with discard mortality rates for other recreational fisheries, teleost fisheries, fluke, and bluefish, and other species. But it's not based on, say, a hooking mortality study. So these are pretty, round numbers, and I think that, it would be nice if we had more information to really nail them down, but that's what we're working with.
Do you know if the 4,300 metric ton discard comes from MRFs?
It does, yes.
Anyone else on the council? Frank, motions?
Okay. Make a motion for the next fishing year. We have a 12 million pound commercial quota for spiny dogfish. Karen, do you have? Okay, Karen's got it, so wait till she. That's a committee.
Discussion on the committee motion to raise the quota to 12 million pounds. Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Fourteen in favor, opposed? Abstentions? One abstention. The motion carries 14-0, one abstention. Frank?
Okay. Hopefully it's getting up there. That the spiny dogfish commercial trip limit for the fishing year 2009 be set at 3,000 pounds. On committee motion.
Committee motion does not require a second. Council? Ready for the question? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Fourteen. Opposed? Abstentions? One abstention. The motion carries 14-0 with one abstention. Frank, anything further?
That's all I have. I guess the Mid-Atlantic Council will be taking these up at the meeting in December.
Correct.
And then we submit it to NIPS.
Okay. Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, there's another issue related to dogfish that I think warrants some discussion. It wasn't raised apparently by the committee at its meeting late last night, and I can understand why. 7 o'clock meeting, and people are not exactly in tune to all of the issues, I suppose. And this relates to the discrepancy we now have in how we allocate dogfish by season, by area. It's been an issue that's plagued the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission for quite a while, confused everyone, including myself, and I would think perhaps the National Marine Fisheries Service. And this relates to the seasonal split in the dogfish quota, which had great merit when it was first implemented in the plan years ago. The seasonal allocation was put in place to, in a sense, protect the interests of the Mid-Atlantic states, in that there was an expectation that if we didn't have a seasonal split, all the dogfish would be caught in New England, and the quota, of course, was much smaller then, and the Mid-Atlantic would have no dogfish to land. And of course, for those familiar with the history of dogfish management and the fishery, that led to some interesting conflicts between me and certain key individuals of other states, North Carolina in particular, and I remember one, well, I won't get into the details, it wasn't a pretty sight. So there was great merit to the seasonal allocation. However, things have changed, and in recognition of the changing distribution of dogfish, the seasonality of dogfish, the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission not too long ago went to the area allocation so that there would be a southern allocation and a northern allocation, and that would indeed protect the interests of the Mid-Atlantic states because in the north, dogfish tend to be around almost all year now. So the seasonal split didn't make much sense. The northern states, so to speak, could take the whole quota before the states in the mid had their shot at it, even though there was a seasonal allocation. The area split makes a lot more sense. And now, of course, as I indicated this morning when I gave the ASMFC report, the states are considering state splits, and one decision already has been made, and that is to give 16% of the annual allocation to North Carolina and the other states, just see how it falls. Anyways, with that said, I think it makes a great deal of sense to remove the seasonal allocation from our council management plan. Of course, the Mid-Atlantic Council is in the lead on this. I suspect that Jim understands this issue very well because he's been involved in it for so long, and I would like to promote some discussion on this issue. So I would move to, I guess we have to request the Mid-Atlantic Council for specific action on this, I suppose, right? So I would move that we request the Mid-Atlantic Council to initiate a framework action to remove the seasonal allocation of the annual spiny dogfish quota.
Is there a second? Doug, Grout. Jim.
Dr. Pierce, I'd just like to suggest that the word framework or a framework be removed because we've gotten, it's been suggested that this may not be a frameworkable item. I'm hoping it will be, or at least something that can be done with this little administrative hurdles to overcome as possible. But in case it isn't, it's, you know, whatever, whether it's a framework or an amendment, whatever it is, in order to bring the plans into sync better, I think is the spirit of what you're suggesting.
I have no problem doing that, Mr. Chairman, and if I may, because no one wanted to second this motion except for Doug, God bless him. It suggests to me that this may not pass. I'll just emphasize that the issue of allocation of dogfish has been dealt with by the states. We work with the states. There's an ASMFC dogfish plan, and of course a council plan, Mid-Atlantic and New England. The seasonal allocation is no longer required because of the way the states have dealt with this. And I would turn to Jim, staffer for the Mid-Atlantic Council, who knows this issue very well, and ask him, if I may, Mr. Chairman, to elaborate a bit and to explain, well, to confirm what I've said, and if I have misstated something, then I would appreciate him making that point known for the benefit of the council.
Jim.
Thank you. The point of the seasonal allocation was originally to be a sort of a proxy for regional allocation during the period when there was, when the rebuilding program started for the retention of incidentally caught dogfish to not result in protracted closures, but to be allowed to happen, throughout the year as the fish migrate down the coast, up and down the coast. And so now that we're all on the, now that the commission has made the regional allocation more more straightforward structured in a more straightforward way, then there is the possibility that you could have a closure of the EEZ if the different regions harvest greater than, say, in period one, that periodic quota. In other words, the 12 million pound quota, or whatever quota is recommended, under the current FMP, 57.9% of that is allocated to period one. That's May 1st through October 31st. And then 42.9% is allocated to, 42.1%, excuse me, is allocated to period two, November 1st through April 30th. So, with the suggestion from the monitoring committee and SSC participants that it's in the interest of the stock to reduce the pressure on the nearshore component of the stock, it seems consistent with that to not close the EEZ. So, removing the obstacles or removing the components of the federal FMP that may lead to a closure of the EEZ, even when the quota and trip limits are the same in both state and federal waters, seems like a sensible approach from the monitoring committee standpoint.
Paul Howard.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. It seems like we could spend a lot of time on this motion, but when we start talking about allocation, and we've already talked about North Carolina with 16% or whatever it was, if I'm not mistaken, dogfish is an open access fishery, and as we raise the tack, there'll be more and more people that want to fish on it that'll make it more and more difficult to achieve the allocations and to achieve the ACLs and the whole business. So my question then is the MID considering limited entry in the dogfish fishery, or are they content with open access and meeting all the Magnuson requirements? And if not, is that something we might want to add to this about limited entry so that we can take care of allocation?
Well, I think that, this is one of many issues that's going to need to be dealt with in this FMP and all the FMPs. And so one of the reasons that it was suggested that this might not go forward in a simple framework is that ACLEMs are going to have to be dealt with. And if when we go down that path, then we might end up with looking at a limited access fishery as well. But this is, that being said, maybe it's just my opinion that it would be nice to not have a closure of the EEZ when the quotas and trip limits are the same, because it would shift the fishery as it to into state waters.
Pat.
Comment and then a question, I guess. Of course, there's no guarantee that the quotas and the trip limits are going to stay the same. Curious, I have a question to the maker of the motion. You're not proposing that the councils adopt the same management program as the ASMFC, but just simply to remove the seasonal restriction, which would mean there'd be some sort of, I guess, coast-wide tack, and then the area based allocation decisions would be made by the commission?
Right, there would still be the coastwide tack, and then the states would do as they're doing now, live by the regional allocation, north and south, with 58% being for the states, Connecticut north, and 42% New York and south. It works far better than a seasonal split because, again, with the area split, the interests of the southern states are protected. There's no way Massachusetts, for example, would be landing dogfish that otherwise would be landed in North Carolina because it's an or Virginia for that matter, or New Jersey. It's an area allocation versus a seasonal allocation. It simplifies matters greatly. It doesn't take away any authority or management measure that this council or the Mid-Atlantic Council already has in place. It's an easier process for all concerned. I can't tell you how difficult it was to deal with the fishermen in our state, and other states had the same problem, when the EEZ closed because of seasonal closures, yet the regional allocation was not yet taken. Again, it's a far simpler way to proceed. And obviously, if this council, which is not the lead, doesn't wish to pursue this course of action right now, then it will be up to the Mid-Atlantic Council, hopefully, to think about this and to develop the measures that it would want to address. That is, to remove the seasonal split and go with the area split. And I suspect that they would want to do that because the vast majority of Mid-Atlantic Council members who deal with dogfish are the state directors, or the head fisheries officials, who've already signed on to the strategy because they recognize it protects the interests of the Mid-Atlantic states.
I have a question and then I think a recommendation. This fix here can't happen in the action that the trip limit and quota is being set in. David started this whole thing with talking about another framework or another action, correct? This isn't going to happen right now.
No.
Right.
No. Be a change to the FMP.
Right. My recommendation would be that this issue, while specific to dogfish, is part of a broader discussion that started at the NRCC two meetings ago. And we're slated to have a discussion in January with members of the Atlantic States, members of the Mid-Atlantic Council, the New England Council, the Science Center, the National Marine Fisheries Service Regional Office. And I would recommend that we try to address this, use this as a case study in that discussion when we talk about jointly managed plans and overlapping jurisdictional authorities, as well as talk to the Mid-Atlantic Council about this and maybe other issues that we'd like to see addressed in the next adjustment to the FMP. So I would recommend that this would be a case study for the NRCC subcommittee discussion, and as well as be put on a list to go into a correspondence to the Mid-Atlantic. So if there's no objection, I'd ask that we table the motion and proceed in that manner. Any objection? Okay. Thank you for bringing that issue up, Dr. Pierce. Anything further under dogfish? Okay, that concludes dogfish. That's the end of the agenda for today. I just wanted to have a quick conversation with the council. It seems like tomorrow we start at 8:30 with skate, and then we're going to launch into groundfish after that, and that'll take us through the rest of the day. So we can proceed in that manner. As we've said, we've sort of had discussions today that skate probably not going to take a full 3 hours as we had thought it would this time around. One thing I'm thinking about, in an effort to not start groundfish too early because we haven't been able to get the word out to people that are probably going to come and want to be engaged in the full discussion, is to start tomorrow at 9 a.m. as opposed to 8:30. Does anyone object to that? An extra half an hour, Frank. Anyone object to that? I looked at it before. I didn't see anything. So we'll start tomorrow at 9 a.m.? Okay. See you tomorrow.